The conversation continues with State of the Nation's Brian McClain and Timothy Shea on today's News Talk TNT.
Welcome to State of the Nation on today's News Talk. For Brian McClain, I'm Timothy Shea, and we are coming to you live from Central Texas in Central New York. You can visit us on the web at tntradio.live. It's happened again, Brian. Another barge has hit another bridge, this time in Galveston, Texas, and it partially collapsed the Pelican Island Causeway, which is the only connection from Galveston to Pelican Island. And why that's significant is because there's a Texas A&M campus right there on Pelican Island.
And I could not help but think, wow, what a coincidence. How many of these have we had now? Is this three in as many months, Timothy?
Well, it's a freighter and two barges now. We had the freighter, of course, hitting the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. And then we had a runaway barge on the Mississippi River up near St. Louis. And now, so this is the second barge. Fortunately, it hit this little bridge and not the major I-45 bridge, which was just a little further down the harbor.
Yeah, well, could have been worse, but my goodness, I feel like we're getting trained here. It's kind of like when trains started derailing and we started noticing, and it's like, oh, don't worry, this happens all the time. You're just noticing it now because, I don't know, internet.
Yeah, well, I'm getting worried because we had another political assassination today as well, so hopefully they're not trying to normalize that. Yes. We've been complaining that Republicans don't fight. Well, Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose is a fighter. We've supported Frank at Right of Center USA for years. In fact, we think he's got a bright future in Ohio as potentially the next governor. He has ordered all 88 counties to expand their efforts to purge the voter rolls of ineligible voters after he discovered 137 non-citizens registered to vote. Now, the Ohio's enhanced voter roll purge comes after the secretary's Public Integrity Division and Office of Data Analytics and Archives recently completed a review of records provided by the Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles. And the review found 137 voter registrations assigned to Ohio residents who twice confirmed to the BMV that they were not U.S. citizens. And Brian, that's a big problem right there. Under Ohio law, in order to be removed from the roll, you have to affirmatively tell the Bureau of Motor Vehicles that you're not a citizen, not just once, but twice. That law needs to be reversed. You need to be removed unless you prove that you're a citizen twice.
Yeah, that makes a heck of a lot more sense. This is just another manifestation of our world upside down, but you're 100% right.
And people think that 137 voters might not be that big a deal, but remember, that's only against the Bureau of Motor Vehicles database. So Secretary of State LaRose has asked the Biden administration for access to federal databases, and those are scheduled to be released to the Ohio Secretary of State's office on the 12th of November.
Good. Well, okay. A little late in the game there. Why is that not publicly available, or at least available to, you know, official auditors, you know, something like that? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Come on, man. There's an election to steal.
Come on, man. Yes, of course.
And, you know, it doesn't matter what color they are. They can be black, white, brown, yellow, purple. They can come from Mexico, from South Boston, or from Planet Chocolate Thunder. They're all racist. To their core, these people are racist. Remember, it's the party of slavery, Jim Crow, and the KKK. And Eric Adams proves my point today. He said, Brian, with a straight face, that illegals are great swimmers and that they should be lifeguards. Let's roll this clip.
If we had a migrant and asylum seeker plan that states those jobs that we are in high demand, we could expedite. How do we have a large body of people that are in our city and country that are excellent swimmers, and at the same time, we need lifeguards? And the only obstacle is that we won't give them the right to work to become a lifeguard.
Hey, did he just basically call the illegals wetbacks? Great swimmers are...
You could make that argument. I'm pretty sure you could make that argument, and that if it would have come from a Republican, we would be hearing that argument in spades very loud right now, but I'm not.
It would be a media bloodbath. Brian, this just highlights the wisdom of my solution. We need to get the Cajun Navy to load up the Rio Grande with as many gators as it will fit. If they're such great swimmers, let's get that river chock-a-block with gators. It'll be like the wildebeest crossing in the Serengeti, right? The illegals will all be on the bank. Who's going to be the first one to try to make a dash for freedom?
Yes, distract the creatures in the moat. I hear you.
We joke, but it's no joking matter. But we want you to enjoy listening to TNT. Let us know. Do you think we're doing a good job? Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk TNT.
Your voice heard here.
The government needs to step up and do its job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's a heated race in Virginia to see who is going to represent the GOP and hopefully flip that seat away from Tim Kaine and the Democrats back into the Republican column. Joining us now is retired U.S. Army officer and GOP Virginia Senate candidate, Eddie Garcia. You can follow him on X at Eddie Garcia VA. Eddie, welcome back to State of the Nation.
It's exciting times. I'm on the road right now, so I'm happy to be back.
Happy to have you back. And Eddie, it appears as though the GOP is lining up behind Scott Parkinson. He's got almost three dozen sitting senators and representatives endorsing him. He's also got, as of March, almost $400,000 in his campaign chest. How's your campaign going? Are you going to be able to get your message out in these final weeks before the June 18th primary?
My campaign, the Garcia campaign, is in full swing. We have more volunteers, we have more help, we have more supporters than any other campaign across the Commonwealth. Money, no money. Money's not going to be able to buy this election. The people across Virginia, the average working class man and woman that are sick and tired of the DC class. I'm proudly not endorsed by the numerous Washingtonians, these politicians that have come and sucked up oxygen in our capital and rake in our taxpayer dollars and get rich off the system. I'm happy not to have their endorsement. That is the clear-cut difference between the Garcia campaign and anybody else that's running for this U.S. Senate seat. As I am the outside candidate, I'm the political grassroots candidate. I'm the guy that's coming in to take on the system, not be a part of that system.
We spoke with Hung Cao. And, you know, it really is resonating. I think, you know, what you guys are doing with your campaigns, all of a sudden, all that money doesn't mean as much to people that are actually voting. You know, it's like, I don't think people are impressed with, you know, $900,000, you know, hit piece that airs between a YouTube videos or on their local cable station. I mean, what do you think about, like, you know, the I guess I would, you know, as a broadcaster, I would call it the value of your content versus, you know, what the other people are spinning with their giant mega donors from the Uniparty and all the NGOs.
For about 16 months, getting a chance to meet people across the Commonwealth. I've been to about 95 different counties and independent cities. I've done about 300 speaking events. I put a lot of content online about myself so that people understand when they meet me, the same things that I say in private rooms are the same things that I put out in the public and social media. So there's no wondering where I stand on the issues. There's no wondering where I'm financed, and I'm financed by the people of Virginia. I don't chase big PAC money out of state. I don't chase the large donors that reside in New York City or California. I'm a strictly grassroots candidate that's talking about the issues that affect Virginians. That's the border, talking about the things that we can do, like secure the border, strengthen our military, give school choice to our parents, help our seniors stay in their homes, and keep our veterans off the streets and give them the mental health care that they need. Not a lot, but a few things. They have to do it correctly. I'm speaking to those issues.
I love your passion, love your fire, and I think you're exactly correct. In fact, that'd make a heck of a campaign slogan, right? Proudly not endorsed by any DC politicians. I think you're right. Money isn't going to be the answer in this campaign or in any campaign across the country. We do a lot of political consulting, a lot of campaign work at Right of Center USA, and I have been extolling the value of retail politics literally for decades, Eddie. Get out the Shoe Leather Express, get to meet the folks, have conversations at their front porches, at their Elks meetings, wherever they are, coming out of church, go out and meet them. One of the big things, the town where I live, is going out to the recycling center during election season every year. Every Saturday, you'd have to go out and you get to talk to your neighbors. It's the best way to campaign.
Well, I tell people that regardless of who the Republican nominee is, we're just never going to be able to outraise somebody who's been around as long as Tim Kaine has, who has the political connections that Tim Kaine has. And so in order to beat somebody like that, you can't outraise them in money. And if money is your only tool in the toolbox, well, then you're going to be outgunned. So you got to raise them in enthusiasm. You got to raise them in momentum. You got to raise them with grassroots support and excitement. And if you don't have a candidate that can do that, to bring out people and be excited, be proud to put a sign in their yard, to stick a bumper sticker to their vehicle, to stand up, show up and speak up and say, yes, I'm supporting this guy because I know his values. I've heard him. He excites me. He has solutions for the future. And he is a complete contrast to what we see in Washington, D.C. That's how we're going to do it. Money or no money. Come the general, the turnout in Virginia is going to be enormous. Donald Trump's going to bring a turnout, whether you're for him or you're against him. People are going to show up. So the money itself is going to be as little as important as it ever been. And so now is the time that we need a good candidate that can be a stark contrast to the way things have done in the past, to be a stark contrast to Virginia 1994 and Tim Kaine and 2024 with Eddie Garcia. That's how we win. We paint that contrast. The people in the middle, and even the Democrats are going to be able to say, you know what, I might not agree with everything that he says, but man, he's got a vision that I can get behind, and he's much better than the same old same.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Eddie, you know, you mentioned Veterans Affairs and the way that, you know, our veterans are able to get service. What do you think about that? Because it looks really abysmal. You know, we lose so many a day to suicide. We have mental health problems. And, you know, particularly during 2020 and 2021, I heard a lot of horror stories about my local VA. I mean, what do you think needs to happen at the federal level to make this better?
Well, first, we need to hold the VA accountable. The Trump administration was doing that. It's 3 years have gone by and we see the wait times back to increasing far too long. And so what the military has done and well, Congress had done a while back is they passed something called the Brandon Act. And what the Brandon Act does is it requires military commanders, if you have a soldier or a sailor come to you and say they're having a mental health problem, it gives you 72 hours to find them treatment. We need to expand that to the VA. What we can't have is we can't have volatile veterans suffering PTSD, anxiety, depression, et cetera, waiting around weeks and months to see a professional. Meanwhile, they're going through this trauma. It's something that's near and dear to my heart. I have friends that we being the veteran community periodically check on because they suffer some of these mental illnesses based on their history and their service. We owe our veterans better. There's no one that knows that process better than a veteran themselves. And sadly, what we see is federal government right now, the veteran representation continues to dwindle to almost all time lows. So when we get in there, when I beat Tim Kaine, I'm going to be perfectly positioned to jump on the Senate Armed Services Committee, the Foreign Relations Committee, these committees in these places that Tim Kaine has drastically degraded. It's time that we start to solve these problems. No one better than Eddie Garcia.
Eddie, we can't thank you enough for coming on in the middle of your busy campaign efforts tonight. We can follow you on X at Eddie Garcia VA. Are there any other websites or accounts that they should be looking at?
Sure. My website is eddiegarciava.com. I'm on social media at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all Eddie Garcia VA. Come follow me. Come hear what I got to say. Come support the campaign. We're going to surprise a lot of people in Washington, D.C. We're going to surprise a lot of people here in Virginia with this primary in 34 days.
Eddie, we can't wait to see how that's going to turn out. We wish you all the best. Again, folks, that's eddiegarciava.com and on X and all the other social medias at Eddie Garcia VA. Eddie, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure to be here.
You're listening to State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's Kate Shimarani.
It's glorious and warm in the UK. Well, I'm in the South. Those very famous cliffs that you see, I'm not far from there, those white cliffs. They do chemtrail. I'm just looking actually up at the window here, and they are now starting to spray. I put this on Twitter. I had my huge, enormous tinfoil hat on, and there's all these people coming out going, no, 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 that's quite normal, that's quite normal. But they don't say it like that. I've noticed that people that disagree with what we say, they generally call me very abusive names. But you know what? It just rolls off, love. I don't care. I've been chased by so many cops. I felt wanted down Whitehall during the convict.
Kate Shimarani on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Listen, we gotta talk.
It's what we do best.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Joining us now is veteran of the CIA and the State Department's Office of Counterterrorism. He's an investigator and he's a subject matter expert in corruption. We have rejoining us Larry Johnson. Larry, welcome back to State of the Nation.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
Great to see you again. And Larry, the college protest thing is international at this point. I got a clip I want to show you here out of Amsterdam. So, Larry, a pretty heavy-handed response from the police there. Kind of reminds me of some of the things I saw out of Los Angeles. And we're not seeing a whole lot of that in the mainstream media. They seem to want to show us much more salacious things that are said and written and done. But what do you think about the heavy-handedness of some of that?
I think it's completely out of line. You know, but Amsterdam doesn't have the U.S. Constitution. We do. And if people are protesting and they're not, you know, if they're clubbing police, if they're tossing rocks, Molotov cocktails, all right, go in with the heavy stuff. But, you know, I saw cops manhandling female professors who were not doing anything, one walking up to check on her students. And as a big supporter of the police, if I was in their chain of command, I'd fire them. You're not there to prove that you're a bigger bully. And that's what we've had going on here.
Yeah.
The tough line that we as a society have to walk, right? Not just the police. Yeah. obviously we back the blue. We're for law and order. We don't want our inner cities to be ravaged with crime the way they have under the Biden administration. But by the same token, we don't want brown shirts. We don't want jackbooted thugs out there shredding the Constitution.
But Mike, look, my concern is they could do it to these students. And we got, I know there are a lot of Trump supporters and conservatives going, yeah, yeah. Tell you what, guys, one of those days the cops will be doing that to you. And then let's see if you're cheering.
Yeah, because well, you know, that's one of the
police. The police set that up on January 6th. The police were involved with that. Capitol Hill Police, FBI, yeah. Law enforcement. They were in direct violation of people's constitutional rights, trying to paint them as insurrectionists. And I've got a real problem with it that, you know what, we allow people to go out and be wrong as long as they're not committing acts of violence and threatening the lives of other people. You have the right to be wrong in this country.
Mm-hmm. Particularly in universities. Universities have been the place of for the last, you know, Larry, here's something interesting I was thinking about. You know, when I started my initial bachelor's degree, I went to Humboldt State University, now called Cal Poly Humboldt, which has been involved in you know, these activities also. And we had all kinds of public speaking, protests, support rallies for, you know, a million different things. And, that was back in the 90s, in the early 90s. And then near the end of the 90s, I switched to a different school. I went to school in Monterey. And at that Cal State University, they built that. It was brand new. And they built it around not social justice. We didn't really have that word back then. In 99, it wasn't really the key word, but it was multicultural. It was all very multicultural based. For example, they didn't have an English literature department. They had a human communications department. They had, you know, it was basically the breeding ground for what would become the modern university, right? Which is based in social justice. So the universities and the culture creators have got young people looking for marginalized communities, looking for racism, looking for all these things, looking for war crimes and apartheid. And now they seem to have latched on to what's happening in Gaza. And it's like, what did you expect? And you know what I mean? It's to me, it's like we raised a lot of these kids, teaching them to call conservatives and Trump supporters Nazis. And we, many people like us, warned them the whole time, if you do this, it will turn around and splash back on you. Is that what we're seeing now?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're seeing that. But we're also seeing a real manipulation of media and narratives. So I'm going to give you some figures now. These are not Larry Johnson figures. These are from the Israeli Foreign Ministry. The Israeli Foreign Ministry posted on its website, every act of Palestinian violence against Israelis since the year 2000, up through April 26th of 2024. So do you know when did they record their last Hamas terrorist attack? That was May of 2021. A rocket attack killed two women. And the last Hamas recorded terrorist attack, and this is the Israeli data, not mine, was in 2015. Yet we're told that Hamas is this mighty terrorist organization. Well, guess what? You know how many total Palestinians, Palestinians killed Israelis from 2000 to 2024? 1,455 over a 24-year period. Now, I'm not trying to minimize that loss of life, but just by way of comparison, in Chicago, from 2000 to 2023, we had almost 14,000 homicides, murders by handguns. We're not up in arms going, oh my God, this is terrorism. We got to stop it. We learned to live with it. Just those black kids killing each other. Who cares? My point in this is we create a narrative about Hamas is this mighty terrorist organization. It's not. It's a national liberation organization. It has committed terrorist attacks. Its last suicide bombing, though, was 2012. Again, not my statistics. Israeli Foreign Ministry. It's on their website. I'll share the link with you. So when you realize in 2012, they Hamas stepped back and said, yeah, you know, this suicide bombing thing's making us look bad. We need to stop that. And they did. Haven't done it for 12 years. But the narrative that's been constructed is, oh, Hamas is murdering Israelis. In that same 24-year period, the Israelis killed four times as many Palestinians, four times as many prior to October 7th. So from my standpoint, there's ample reason to be out protesting the brutality of the Israeli government, because their track record, documented, factual, data-driven, over the last 24 years, show that it's much safer to be an Israeli in a Hamas camp than it would be to be an Israeli in Chicago suburbs. Tell you that.
Yeah,
much
really.
Safer.
Yeah. All right. Hold the line, Larry. We're going to take a headline. We'll come back. We'll pick up right here on State of the Nation at Today's News Talk. You're watching TNT.
I got news. News. I got news for you.
News.
I got news. I got news.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The U.S. Department of Justice has found that Boeing violated a 2021 deferred prosecution agreement, which had previously allowed the company to avoid criminal charges after the fatal crashes of two 737 MAX jets in 2018 and 2019. Two co-defendants in the Georgia legal case involving former President Donald Trump are appealing a judge's decision that allows Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis to remain on the case.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on Today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Okay, Larry, coming back here to the States for a minute, Susan Sarandon came out recently and had some words at one of the rallies. Go ahead and roll that, studio.
That it is very important
to have their voices heard.
To have their voices heard.
And that is their right in a democracy.
And it is their right in a democracy.
Especially in a place of education.
Especially in a place of education.
And supposedly higher thought.
And supposedly higher thought.
To be attacked.
To be attacked.
With racism.
With racism.
And intolerance.
And intolerance.
Is not acceptable.
Is not acceptable.
There are many, many people.
There are many, many people.
Who stand with you.
Who stand with you.
You must know that you inspire so many people.
You must know that you inspire so many people.
People who are afraid.
People who are afraid.
People who are old and afraid.
People who are old and afraid.
Are looking to you.
Are looking to you.
And your voices.
And your voices.
And your organization.
And your organization.
And your tenacity.
And your tenacity.
And your kindness.
And your kindness.
To make a difference in this situation.
To make a difference in this situation.
You give me hope.
You give me hope.
To me and so many people.
To me and so many people.
And in the end, the truth will win.
And in the end, the truth will win.
It's important at this point.
It's important at this point.
Oh boy,
often I don't
with
often
liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, I don't. That wasn't quite. That wasn't quite a sound bite. That was like a sound buffet, all you could eat.
Yeah, right. And you know, she's not someone I often agree with, but I'm glad to see her on this side of this one. But this is the kind of thing being shown by the mainstream media. And you know, while I agree with her comments and commend her for her words, I'll give her credit where credit's due. What I'm about to read you from Wyatt Reed at Gray Zone is what I'd rather hear the mass media reporting widely on as well. So the Gray Zone has obtained a dossier detailing the identities of many hooligans who assaulted UCLA anti-genocide student protesters, and it was sent to the LA police. But no arrests have been made, and the cops still can't explain why they disappeared for hours during the attack. And some of the things that were being shouted by those people, I can't even clip out and air on a show like this because it's so laced with profanity, but there's reveling in the 30,000 people dead. You see a pro-Israel protester, an alleged pro-Israel protester chanting, quote, 30,000 MFers, 30,000 and counting, like he's stoked about it. It's pretty amazing to see that. And, you know, none of these people, it just reminds me of a lot of the Antifa stuff we saw, you know, and right. I see a lot of mainstream conservatives saying that this is only the kind of, this sort of astroturfing is only happening on the pro-Palestinian side.
Well, yeah, and you can see with these are some former members of the Israeli military, and they've had actually a professional working relationship with the Los Angeles Police Department, according to the Gray Zone reporting. So, yeah, it was just, you know, it was out of line. They allowed them to go in and club the students. You know, what we're seeing once we start crossing over into these levels of violence, where people feel, where we set up judicial and legal and police institutions in order to say, hey, we need somebody that's going to play fair. That if you cross the line, regardless of who you are, how much money you make, who your friends are, you're going to be held accountable just like the other person. But what's happened in our society is, you know, we get Hunter Biden. Hey, you know, his dad's out there saying, ah, you're going to lock you up if you have an AR-15 and those firearms are bad. Then his kid goes out and lies, bald-faced lies on a firearms application. They're not locking him up yet, I hope. I mean, it is going to trial. He is being prosecuted, finally, after a lot of pressure. But that should have been a no-brainer. I mean, he should have been picked up, arrested, and charged, and then locked away a long time ago. But no, that doesn't happen. And it's also the same on the Republican side, where you've had members of Congress who, you know, get off and skate. So when people lose hope that their judicial institutions are fair, that their police institutions are no longer fair, you start taking matters into your own hands. And frankly, that's one of the dangers the Democrats have unleashed with their trials and persecutions of Donald Trump, that these ginned up charges are going to generate outrage, particularly if they go out and try to punish him. And it's just, you know, people want to be treated fairly. And once they realize,
I think that's one of my big concerns, Larry, is that they're trying to spark off a conflict by, you know, this lawfare we were discussing last night with Gerard Felitti. And they said, you know, we need to break out the hammer and chisel and get up above the portal to the Supreme Court where it says equal justice under law and change that to unequal justice under lawfare. I think, and I'm deathly afraid now that they've agreed to two debates, they're either throwing Joe under the bus or they're going to go for the final solution for Donald Trump. And that's what I've been afraid about now for 2 years.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I guess now we've got some insight into why Shakespeare was inspired to write "Kill the Lawyers."
Well, what he really said was, "If you want anarchy, first thing you do is kill all the lawyers." That actually wasn't an advocation to kill the lawyers; just the opposite.
Well, maybe the lawyers are killing themselves by their conduct right now.
Well, I think there's no question about that. But I mean, are you concerned that we're going to have, you know, Jack Kennedy was killed by CIA, Richard Nixon, that was a bloodless coup d'etat, that was a political assassination using legal means. They haven't been able to assassinate Donald Trump using legal means. Are you afraid that they've got a 45 and 45's future?
Yeah, I mean, I have firsthand experience going into Mar-a-Lago. I could get into Mar-a-Lago with a firearm and nobody would stop me.
That's a frightening thought.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into details how it happened, but I'll tell you guys offline. But absolutely, I mean, I am. I'd be frightened for Trump. If I was him, I'd make sure I would hire my own security detail that would be the first, cordon around me. Before the Secret Service, because the Secret Service are sloppy. They're sloppy and in some respects lazy and unprofessional from what I saw.
Well, that jives with what I've heard from other people.
Yeah, and don't tell us how you know that. We don't want to give anybody any ideas. We'll take your word for it. That is a little bit frightening, though, and it makes me think, it makes me a little bit concerned about RFK Jr. too, because we all know that he is... you know, he's been denied any sort of Secret Service protection.
Right.
Yeah. Five times. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's wrong. Again, this just the system's not playing fair. Biden and this crowd are the most despicable group of political leaders we've had, not only in my lifetime, but I think in the history of the United States. It's just they take moral depravity to a new low, and their corruption, the level of corruption is what's staggering.
Yes, truly. Larry, hold the line. We're going to take a station break and we'll come back. We'll pick right up here at State of the Nation. This is TNT.
She used to dance and dream of a better life, a brighter future, with nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn, to get an education, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, she dances for the world. Together, we give children in poverty a chance to set their sights high and achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves.
Gracias. Gracias.
Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Right, I've got cancer. I've been trying to tell the rest of you, but no one's listening. And I don't just mean you, ears, eyes. Would you look in the damn toilet for once? Hands, roll those sleeves and take a sample. And legs, trot off to the doctor to get me looked at. Because bowel cancer can be successfully treated when detected early. Now look who's finally woken up.
You're with Brian McLean and Timothy Shea and State of the Nation on today's News Talk TNT.
Now, Larry, you know, they say that the left or the globalists or the mass media cartels, you know, whatever label you want to put on it, they craft almost everything around the scaffolding that populism is terrible, populists are bad, any sort of populist right. is, you know, an analog to a Mussolini or a despot of some sort. Yet we look around the world and we look for the populist leaders in the larger Atlanticist bloc and in Europe and everywhere, and you just don't see that many, you know. We got like Viktor Orban, you know, we had Bolsonaro, but look what happened to Bolsonaro. And now we had this assassination attempt on Robert Fico. I don't know if it's Fico or Fico.
Fico. It's spelled Fico, but it's pronounced like Fitzo.
Okay, so. Fitzo. Okay, so in Slovakia. So, you know, this kind of leads into what Timothy was saying there potentially about Donald Trump. There seems to be a lot of hatred towards leaders like this, even though there's so few of them, and it's difficult for them to point out exactly why they're so bad. But then we look at what, you know, the Biden administration and NATO and the EU are all doing between Ukraine and Israel and potentially Taiwan, and we see exactly that, you know, colonial mindset and that despotic mindset that they try to project on populist leaders.
Yeah, I'm frankly surprised it hasn't happened more frequently. And that just the level of violence that could be directed at political leaders hasn't erupted. Because, you know, I think there's a great potential for a pushback against the Democrats as well in this country. But what you're seeing, I don't know if you saw the debate that Nancy Pelosi participated in over at Cambridge or at Oxford.
Yeah, with the Mumford and Sons guitarist.
Yeah. And, you know, he laid out a pretty good the opposition laid out a pretty good case about here's Nancy Pelosi, who's gone to Congress and become wealthy by exploiting her position, about making enough money so she doesn't have to be among the little people. And that's what scares people about Trump, because Trump, even though he's the billionaire and he's wealthy, he has that knack ability to touch with the average person. the average person who may not have a high school education, certainly may not have a college education, someone who's accustomed to working with their hands. And that used to be the provenance of the Democrats. No longer. It's Trump. Trump's the only, you can't name another politician that can draw a crowd like Trump can draw a crowd. And it's not because he's giving away the envelopes with $5,000 in it to everyone that comes through the gate, or, you know, a free, you know, bar of gold or something. No, they're showing up because his message resonates with them. They feel he at least can relate to them. Not another politician can do that.
Yeah, his nickname in New York was the Blue Collar Billionaire, right? He grew up, he literally grew up on construction sites. So even when he was Barron's age, he was out talking to the workers and, you know, he wasn't getting his hands dirty. It's not that he worked his way up the family business, you know, starting out on the job, but he's been with those guys and his entire career. The reason he's a billionaire is because of those guys and those gals, right? Trump Tower is the first skyscraper in the world to ever be managed by, you know, the construction of it to be managed by a woman. Donald Trump did that, and yet he's a sexist. Donald Trump funded Jesse Jackson's two political campaigns, got an award from the NAACP along with Muhammad Ali and Rosa Parks, but Donald Trump's a racist. I mean, it's just amazing that everything that these people say is exactly the opposite of the truth. And right. And it's that inauthenticity that people see. You might not like what Donald Trump tweets. I don't care. You can't argue about the fact that the man is, you know, you get what you see.
Well, actually, people that have worked for him that, you know, are behind the scenes, like for example, a buddy of mine was the number one pilot at FedEx. And he wound up getting a co-pilot that had actually been Donald Trump's pilot. And this guy said he couldn't talk enough good about Trump, about how he treated people. It didn't matter if you were the pilot, the co-pilot, or the steward on board. You got treated the same. You got treated with respect. People remember
his former bodyguard and driver lives in my little village here in upstate New York. And exactly what you said, he has no end to great stories about Donald Trump. And another guy I knew was an investor in one of Trump's projects. And every time they would have a luncheon meeting at one of Trump's clubs, Donald Trump would come in, he'd go down the buffet line, and he would do casino to every single employee. He knew their names, he knew their stories, he was asking about their families, shaking hands, thanking them for their work that day, duking them a C-note, and inquiring about how they are. He's got that common touch. You can't fake that. Nancy Pelosi couldn't buy it, even with the $7 million she made last month.
Yeah, you know, and I've seen firsthand just how corrupt some of these members of Congress are. When I was at the CIA covering Central America, there was a certain senator, let's say he's from the New England area, who was big on Central American affairs. And that senator, we had CIA officers having to line up underage hookers for him in Honduras.
Yeah, I know that senator personally. I've encountered him several times, and he is the only politician I've ever met that the only good thing I can say about him is that he's tall and he's got great hair and he knows how to marry for money because he's done it twice.
Well, actually, I'm talking about a different guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, different
trend.
One. Yeah, but I said they're just disgusting human beings. There's nothing redeeming about them. They don't, because of how they treat people that they perceive as less than them. You know, you don't have a high school education. I'm not going to talk to you. What do you have to say that's worth listening to? And people pick that vibe up. And that I think is that's one of the reasons they hate Trump, because he exposes their lack of authenticity.
Yeah.
So, Larry, I'm curious, when you meet people like that throughout your career, as you've met politicians, do you get the impression that they have a clear understanding of geopolitical events and conflicts?
Yeah, that's fun. You know, so the way I learned early on at CIA how this thing works. So here I was, I'm the Honduran analyst. I'm the Honduran expert. So there's going to be a meeting where the then director of CIA was, first it was Bill Casey, then William Webster. So Webster's going to go downtown to meet with the president on Honduras. So I write the talking points and then put it together, and it goes through three or four levels of review. And then Webster goes down and reads off the talking points. He doesn't know anything about Honduras. And more often than not, what you have is you get a lot of people sitting around a table making decisions where they don't really have the expertise. And we know this is true from history. There is in the book Legacy of Ashes by Tim Weiner, they talk about the Cuban Missile Crisis. And early on, it's a tape recording of Kennedy talking to his advisors. And you know, he said, I'm trying to figure out why Khrushchev would do this. He said, it's not like we've placed missiles in Turkey. And there was dead silence around the table. And finally, George Bundy spoke up and said, Mr. President, yes, we have put missiles in Turkey. So here he got the president of the United States, the top guy, and he didn't know something that is critical as that until he was just told in that meeting. So that continues to happen with these members of Congress on both sides of the aisle. Rarely are they very well informed about what they're talking about. And, you know, it's like with the Hamas statistics I shared earlier, I guarantee you, if you went up and asked them, okay, what was the last attack by Hamas? And in fact, in the last 24 years, how many terrorist attacks by Hamas have there been? They're probably thousands, ten. You know, they're not Al-Qaeda. They're not ISIS. But we're talking about them as if they were. I mean, Al-Qaeda and ISIS are genuine, real threats to global security. Hamas, it's a Hatfield-McCoy thing between them and the Israelis. It's a fight over land. And, you know, we went through it in this country with the Native Americans. European settlers came in, and the Comanches, the Cochise, the Sioux, you know, the up and down the coast, they didn't really welcome us. And there were some fights. So we're going to continue.
Well, the Europeans weren't there for 4,000 years. But Larry, there's a reason why they say that politics is Hollywood for ugly people, because just as a Hollywood actor just reads his lines, so too do these politicians. Yeah. These are not our best and brightest. I was in the room when Senator John Hines, who was chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, the committee that created the legislation to allow ATMs, to allow banks to have ATMs, he came in to ask for a ride home, because every Friday, instead of driving, he'd get a ride home from one of the girls in the office. And she said, sure, Senator, I just have to stop at the bank first and get some money. And he goes, well, the bank closed a few hours ago. And she said, I know, I'll just use the ATM. With God as my witness, he said, what's an ATM? So these are not our best and brightest.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And it's they're fortunate to have, if they have good staff around them, the staff makes a lot of the decisions. But, you know, that's what we've seen right now with over the last 20 years, the United States went from a period where we actually knew how to do diplomacy and had another arrow in our quiver, to right now, we only have two things. It's either sanctions or war. You either do what we want, or we're going to sanction you, or we're going to go to war. We don't have another instrument to play in that. And I think it's not served us well, because inevitably when we choose war, it's not the senators. In fact, I've got a proposal. I'd love to see this passed into law. Any member of Congress that votes to go to war must either go themselves or send a member of their family, or go to jail. Because if you're going to send people to war, put your own damn skin in the game, or get one of your children out there on front. And you know what? If we had that as a law, they'd cut out this stupidity. We would not be going around trying to be the world's policeman. And the kids that are getting maimed and having traumatic brain injury and being winding up as quadriplegic or paraplegic, that would come to an end.
Larry, we don't even have to go that far. All we have to do is to bar them from owning defense company stocks.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Larry, you know, I have come a long way with my understanding of media over the years. And one thing I realized while working with Patrick Henningsen over a number of years covering the Syria conflict was that I could not find unfiltered news in Western mass media cartel publications and platforms. And I started looking at a lot of international news, foreign news, social media feeds, and then Telegram came along, and I was able to follow a lot of independent journalists on Telegram. Substack comes along, I'm able to follow you and others on Substack. And it really is a large net that I have to cast to sort of get some clarity.
Right.
What would you, do you think the American public or the public in general have a handle on geopolitical events and conflicts like Ukraine and in Gaza?
Oh, no. The ignorance factor is so large that 10 years ago, they did a survey, and only about 53% of the people knew who David Eisenhower was and had any idea of what role he played in World War II, barely had any idea who was fighting. And so there's gross ignorance, particularly with recent history in this country. One of it is the failure of the media, because people are no longer watching the media. You know, when you think about cable news with MSNBC, Fox, CNN, combined, they may get a total of 8 million viewers a day, all of them. And when you go back to 1968, I'd look these numbers up. Walter Cronkite, on his nightly news broadcast, and this was back when America was like 200 million, 220 million population. Walter Cronkite had 28 million viewers on that one night. Right now, if you combine the cable news plus ABC, CBS, NBC, the regular legacy media, all of them combined don't get to 28 million. And we're now 330, 340 million people, not counting all the illegal immigrants. And so, you know, people are turning increasingly to things like social media, Instagram, and a lot of them don't cover things in depth.
And our schools are a disaster, too. They gave 10 years ago, they gave Harvard seniors the high school graduation exam from Iowa from the 19-teens. I don't know, 1914, 1915. It had Latin, it had Greek, it had mathematics. They couldn't do any of it. And, you know, part of the problem, a large part of the problem is these schools. Dr. Carol Swain texted today, "My students arrive at my class steeped in zero-sum ideas in which one person's gain must be another person's loss, and the only way to get a thing is by oppressing it from someone else. Then they're shocked to hear heretical ideas about a world in which wealth is created, not stolen, and human interactions can be win-win and make all of us immensely well off. The dissonance is severe, and they're unsure how to deal with all the shame and guilt accumulated by years of accused oppression." You know, these struggle sessions that they make whites, especially young white boys, go through. Our schools have become nothing more or nothing less than government indoctrination centers.
Yeah, they're designed to shape attitudes and may basically create an obedience. And what you're finding is a large number of Americans, Canadians, yeah, not an enormous number, but significant number of people with large families, they're moving to Russia. They're going to Russia because in Russia they find traditional family values. They find solid education that's not worrying about any of this diversity, equality, inequity nonsense.
And didn't earn it, as a friend of mine puts it.
Yeah, then that's exactly what it is. And you know, when you start dumbing down and eliminating, you start treating people according to what the color of their skin is. And just the fact of our language that we say, okay, this is white. No. This is white. I'm not this color. I'm this color. And yeah, you got to put down that you're white. And so immediately when you start dealing with people like that, it's an insanity. And it's a divorce from reality, but it becomes our defining who we are now, and we're not very, very pretty.
So much. We're out of time. Anywhere you want to send people to follow your work?
I'm at sonar21.com, S-O-N-A-R-2-1.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Larry Johnson. The world is insane, and we feel more sane with you here to give us your sober analysis on it. That's Larry Johnson joining us right here on State of the Nation. Don't go anywhere. We got more SOTN coming your way on TNT.